everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the HD View Ask Dr. Goodman Show. This is Melissa Biliardi, your host. Tonight, our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1, and we will cue you into the show. Please tell all your colleagues, friends, and family about Help for HD Radio and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. And thank you, 61,500 listeners now, for tuning in. And we are back with Dr. LaVon Goodman, the HD View Ask Dr. Goodman show tonight. We have changed our show dates to Tuesdays.
Hello.
And there she is, Dr. Goodman. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Happy to have you back.
I had trouble getting in the call for some reason.
I could see that, but I'm glad you were able to make it through. Tonight, we're going to talk about Dr. Goodman's newest article, Aligning the PDE10A, Stars for HD, and read her article on her website, www.hddrugworks.org. We're also going to be talking about CHDI Foundation and some other things, the conference that was last month. Dr. Goodman, welcome back, and it's good to be back myself. So how are you tonight? And
I'm good.
Are you back?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Are you back from Venice, Italy from last month? Did you go?
I am, poor thing. Don't feel sorry for me. It was a wonderful trip in many ways.
That's great. Now, in your article, you talk about CHDI's role of collaborative enabler. What do you mean by that?
Well, it is an organization that tries to bring together and stimulate translational research or research that has the beginning and the end of trying to move a drug or treatment to people with Huntington's disease. So not necessarily about basic research, though finding out more about the disease can be very important to finding a drug. That isn't their motivation to know more about HD unless it relates to improving care or working towards a therapy for Huntington's.
Right. So what do you feel like the main focus at the conference was? It was about research or about drugs or both?
Well, it's about there are 3 days, and it starts out with more kinds of basic research. They have added a systems biology approach, which is only about a year or so old for CHDI taking this on. And what that is, I'll explain its opposite. Many biology scientists will focus on a system that they're studying, whether it's energy or synaptic dysfunction or the nerve transmission problems. There are certain things that we know go wrong in the cell, and scientists will tend to work at one spot or one area that they are more expert at. So you're researching very deeply into a narrow subject. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Okay. Whereas systems biology takes the whole cell or the whole organism and tries to take what data is out there, what is known, and look at all of it to see if from the data you can get more information that tells us more about the disease.
Right.
In other words, sequencing genomes of different kinds of people with different kinds of presentations with Huntington's. So you don't go into it with the idea that you're going to find something, one particular thing. You sequence all of the genomes, and then you look at what comes out of that to make your hypothesis.
Okay.
And I am being very obtuse here, huh?
It's okay. It's okay. You know, it's a lot of information. We have to remember that a lot of our listeners are just like me and, you know, people who are not
scientists. Let me use an analogy.
Okay.
The saying of not seeing the forest for the trees. Many molecular biology scientists, or most, study the tree in the forest. So just a little part of the whole problem they study.
Right.
They're expert at their tree. Whereas systems biology tries to look at the whole forest.
Yeah,
and the data from the whole forest, all those individual trees that have been well studied by other scientists, take their data, try to put it together in a big computer, and see what that computer spits out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that gives you a different type of information.
So we're
that
looking
is
at,
what we unbiased. So
we're looking at using technology to do this biology.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
The help to using very, very large amounts of data to try to get information from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And that was day one, and they're just starting on that. I don't think there are anything much has been gleaned from it yet, but it's only a year into the process.
Now,
it takes a while.
Information from the cohort and enroll information, or is this scientific data that they're putting together?
Both. It depends
okay.
on what kind of problem you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
With all of the with a cohort and then increasingly with enroll HD data, all of that data can be fed into if you know, first you get good data and then you feed that into computer programs and look at all of it together,
mm-hmm.
then you will get trends of some things that may be important to look at in more detail. So yes, looking at all of those things that are present clinically, like the OLC and enroll, or blood samples that are looking for biomarkers,
mm-hmm.
you can put a bunch of, you can put results of many, many different blood samples representing many different people and try to find patterns that you wouldn't see unless you had lots of big numbers.
Right.
So that's a different way of approaching the disease. So that was day one, and did I learn very much from it? Well, not much, because it's over my head, too. That's why I don't explain it very
well.
Well,
but you explained it well, and it makes sense to be using the technology that we have to help us decipher all this information that we're getting. And it sounds like there were a lot of scientists there.
I think it was in excess of 300.
Oh, that's pretty good. Now, were the drugs
a very large number?
Too?
Yes.
The pharmaceuticals go to these because they have scientists?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Many large and small pharmaceutical companies are represented there.
Mm-hmm.
There were presentations by a couple of them. When you talk about enabling, it's a way
mm-hmm.
of bringing scientists together, but not just scientists.
Right.
Well, drug developers are scientists too, but we kind of, sometimes think of them different. They're not in an academic lab at
mm-hmm.
Harvard. They are instead at, Roche Pharmaceuticals or somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or ISIS. But they are scientists as well, with a different focus.
Right.
So putting your academic people together with drug developers, they each have a skill that the other one doesn't usually.
Right.
So putting them together makes for a better situation. They learn from each other and hopefully speed things along. Before CHDI, there wasn't any big company interested in Huntington's.
Right. So how many countries were actually there at this conference? Like, how many countries were represented there?
Well, this was the first, no, the second, I think, CHDI conference in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So Europeans, I think, were better represented Yeah, it's closer to get for them to get to than they than the ones that happen in California those the other years. But so I can't really answer that question. The majority, I believe, were not from North America.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of North Americans there too.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a little bit through the HD Therapeutics conference information that was on HD Buzz, and it looks like there was a lot of new stuff kind of discussed that I hadn't heard of yet, like actually editing the DNA of HD patients. Now, all of the work that the scientists are doing now, it's not gone to clinical trial yet, but how far will it, I mean, how long will it be before, how far away are we from clinical trial on some of these?
Well, there are many different programs and approaches that are being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of them is at a different stage. So I can't answer that question overall because some of their programs have not come to fruition. You know, when you advance various programs in a drug company, some of them will fail. Some of them will drop out and probably not be good things to continue to study. Because, and so there are programs like that in every drug company and at CHDI too. They have, for instance, things called HDAC inhibitors. There was a lot of interest in that a number of years ago, and they've continued work on it, more specific work, because basic research suggests that's very important. But so far they have not found a drug that is good enough to bring to clinical trial, even though they've worked on it a very, very long time. So there are some programs that may never get to a clinical trial because they may be deemed not favorable, not having a good chance of success in clinical trial.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is bring those that have a good chance of being successful in people to clinical trial. So those are and there are a couple of near-term ones. And when I say near-term, I'm talking in the 1-2 year time frame for bringing into clinical trial. And those I mentioned in my article, I think this PDE inhibitor, the 10A inhibitor, is, as I wrote in the article, it feels like things are getting into place for a drug that is looking very good, at least before it gets into people. And even I will say after it's been in people, early studies in people, not to test whether it is effective or not,
mm-hmm.
but to find the right dosage, to make sure the drug is getting into brain and acting with the receptor they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have done in people.
And, now,
and
is
that's
this
the
Pfizer,
first time.
Is that a Pfizer drug?
This is the Pfizer CHDI collaboration, yes.
Okay, very good. I'm actually putting your article link into the chat room so that people can click on there and read the article. It's really interesting. I didn't realize until I found a press release from last year that CHDI and Pfizer had struck a collaborative effort, which is, I mean, this is huge. Pfizer's the largest pharmaceutical, or one of the largest.
It is a very large one. I don't know what the largest one is, but you might know more about that than me. But it is a very large one, so it has the ability to move something through clinical trial, has the money clout to move something through clinical trial efficiently. You know, clinical trials, not, you know, for instance, ACR-16 that looked like it may have some benefit has been so far stalled past the phase two because the small drug company that owned the drug didn't have enough money to do another trial, essentially.
Who was that drug company?
And that one, and it, NeuroSearch.
Oh, NeuroSearch.
Now,
I thought that
the rights to that drug have been sold to a big pharma, Teva.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes. So it's not that the drug isn't there, but a couple of years have gone by, and that drug hasn't gone to phase three. Now, that won't happen with Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be a gap if there's a drug that looks like it is beneficial enough. They will take it straight to as straight as they can to a phase three, or the one that's really needed for FDA approval.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be this lag time in between, and that's big.
Now, do you think CHDI will strike up a collaborative effort with Teva? Because wasn't that what was it called, AR-16?
Right. I'm not privy to that information. They don't need to really strike up a deal with Teva. Teva is big enough, and they have bought the drug. And is there some interaction with CHDI? I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I saw in one of the conference updates where it was really kind of interesting. I think it was day two, toward the end of the update, it states Dr. Robert Pacifici, CHDI's chief scientific officer, coining the phrase, "The drugs are coming."
Yeah.
So it sounds like the pipeline is full. And you think
we would like to have it completely full, but and more towards the end of the pipe of it coming out to people. But we're impatient. Boy, I have been impatient with CHDI. I must confess. But watching them bring things together has has converted me more completely. They're very. We need financial clout to move things forward, and we have that in spite of NIH funding being decreased. We still have a tremendous amount of money going to making good drugs for Huntington. And what I tried to point out in the article is what I got, there were a number of different presentations on different parts of the PDE story that showed that they were putting together different pieces of it, finding scientists who could answer the question that needed to be answered for that particular drug, or finding, for the PDE inhibitor drug, they wanted to find someone who could have a method that could see that the drug molecule was getting where it was supposed to. And so they went to probably one of the smartest imaging people in the world, who's in Connecticut, who built PET machines and is an expert on those things, bar none. And they brought this person into it to make a molecule that could attach to the drug that they could see a picture of when they took a PET scan or a nucleotide scan, radionucleotide scan. And you don't need to know about the imaging, but they went out and got the expert to do what needed to be done so they could see this drug in the brain doing what it was supposed to do.
And
they have enough financial clout and know-how that they get the best people. They can get the best people.
Right. Are you referring to the Institute for Neurodegenerative Disorders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Confess, I rode up the elevator with this fellow who is he's very laid back, and you would never know that he was probably the expert at imaging, brain imaging, the expert, and he was just, a down-to-earth person who, we had a conversation in the elevator, and when I saw him up there and then learned more about him, it was impressive how real human, some of these people are, no arrogance at all, and don't come across that way at all, and then you find out that they are the expert in the world on something.
sometimes.
That's helping Huntington's people. So, you know, it's just a, it was great riding up the elevator with him.
That's good. Yeah. So Isis and Roche Pharmaceuticals are now partnering with CHDI as well, which is exciting.
And Roche.
Roche.
Yes.
Yes. That's exciting. I saw that press release. Mm-hmm. And now CHDI and Pfizer. That's pretty amazing. Are we going to have some clinical trials coming soon, do you think?
I think that both the PDE inhibitor one and the ISIS, the initial ISIS oligonucleotide trial where the drug is given into spinal fluid will happen in the 1-2 year time frame. I think they're aiming towards 1 year time frame instead of two.
Right.
So
now,
it looks like it.
So this is a therapy, right? I mean, it's something that's going to be a continual?
The PDE inhibitor is a pill.
Oh, it's a pill.
The PDE inhibitor is a pill. The
is
presently is will be given in spinal fluid, as it was in the familial ALS trial. One of the exciting things about the new collaboration between Roche and ISIS is that Roche has a program and has, you know, I'm not privy to how far they are along in development, but have a, they must be, my guess is, they must, with this collaboration, they must be pretty far along in being able to make a drug that has something on the end of it that then can attach to the oligonucleotide that will get it across the blood-brain barrier. So things like, for instance, things like iron, if we just put iron in the bloodstream, it wouldn't get into brain. But if iron is taken up by this molecule called transferrin, it moves it into brain. So they have looked at, it's a transferrin-like molecule that will, it's a transporter. Gets it across the blood-brain barrier. So potentially it could be given intravenously.
So that could be a like a pump or?
No, or it would be something, you know, I'm not privy, but if I understood correctly, it would be something it could be given like chemotherapy. Once a month or so, or once every 2 weeks, or even less than once a month. Of course, without the side effects of chemotherapy.
You know, I just kind of had a thought. I know who CHDI is, and I know that many of our listeners know who they are, but I'm kind of new to the HD world myself. Only been introduced since 2008. But I don't really know the history of CHDI. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about who they are and how they came
about? The organization is about 10 years old, and it is funded by a family who are anonymous. It is funded by a small group of people who have an interest in Huntington's, who are anonymous, but this group gives an awful lot of money, more than $100 million last year.
Wow.
For advancing drugs for Huntington's disease. So there is the donor family, and then there is the organization that does the work. It started out fairly small with a couple of the scientists and founders of HDF, the Hereditary Disease Foundation. So there was some movement of people from HDF to this new organization, as the need for going from basic research to directing more money and effort towards finding a drug was occurring, and that happened about 10 years ago. So this effort is something that has been building over that 10 years. So it's a nonprofit organization funded by this small group of people. They're not in it themselves to make. They're not a drug company. Mm-hmm. They don't have labs of their own. What they do is they hire people from the drug industry or the kind of person that can work in systems biology or can work in other programs that they're doing. And then they find people who can help drive the programs that they have. They learn from the academics. They have workshops where people come in and disagree, but teach each other a lot. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to be to a couple of those. Mm-hmm. They are open to, suggestions. I think what's interesting about them is they, and I think almost unique, or there may be other disease organizations that do it too, but they really go outside of their own organization and try to put together people who can advance, whatever program that it's on, whether that be a small biotech or a big pharma or an academic person or group. They will go wherever and advance a program, find out more, and they have the money clout to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely work just on Huntington's pharmaceutical industry
really well, which is what it takes, right? I mean, you have to have those
pharmaceutical
relationships.
The pharmaceutical industry is interested in making drugs that make money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're bad people, but that's one of the bottom lines is you make money. Whereas this organization, CHDI, is a nonprofit. They're not in it for the money, and they're doing just Huntington's.
Right. And we like that.
Yes, we do.
Right.
It's not a perfect organization, but it's really after hearing about the PDE and how all the pieces are being put together, I just learned a little bit more about, how they are doing things and how they will do things before they advance a drug.
Right. Was Jean at the conference this year?
I'm sorry?
Was Jean at the conference this year?
No.
Oh. Now they've had is it the same conference that they have at Palm Springs?
Yes.
Okay. I saw a piece that Jean did, I think it was 2 years ago.
Right.
Where Dr. Michael Hayden was an awesome video of him interview.
Right.
And then Dr. Robert Pacifici. And I was surprised to hear him state that, CHDA is not necessarily trying to cure HD. But they're trying to find the drugs to help treat. That was kind of surprising.
Would we like to have it cured? But I think one has to be realistic. Diabetes isn't cured, but you can sure treat it. Would we be happy with treatments that could give us a normal life? I'll be very thankful for a drug developer who will help me do that. The cure of such a complex disease may be an unreasonable thing to hope for. Diabetes, how long have they been working on that? How long have they been working on cancer? If we get good treatment, there are very few diseases that we cure with medicines. Hypothyroidism, maybe. And infectious diseases, some of them. But there aren't many other diseases, heart disease, lung disease, renal kidney disease, diabetes. You don't cure those things, but you have good treatments for many of them.
I think from what I'm learning in my own reading and talking to different people is it seems that stem cells, using stem cells, could be a potential cure, definitely a treatment, but even a potential cure at some point. What do you think about that?
Well, you have the experts there in California, and you've heard from Jan Nolte, who's pursuing with vigor that kind of research. Now, CHDI is not, as far as I know, concentrating heavily on stem cell research.
Mm-hmm.
They're utilizing it more at present to study the disease, to know more about drug interactions with cells that are made into Huntington cells,
mm-hmm.
or cells that that mimic the disease process. The disease process. You can't mm-hmm. mimic the disease in a cell, but you can mimic the disease process. But CHDI is not, as far as I know, active in stem cell therapies.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't to say they never would be, but at present they aren't.
They're using it in the science in some way?
They're using it to, or their plan is to make it easier to study perhaps drug response in these cells.
Mm-hmm.
Or as they do in models of animals, you may be able to get things answered a little more quickly by using cell models. So it's mainly study that they're doing, not therapy, following a therapeutic or treatment modality.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about HDAC inhibitors. What exactly is that?
One of the first drugs that was found to be helpful in the Drosophila model, the fly model.
Mm-hmm.
And this was maybe 10 years ago, I'm dating myself, maybe probably longer, where there was the, where out of California, people whose several labs in Los Angeles that study fly models and of Huntington's showed that an HDAC inhibitor could, delay or looked like it was helping the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been an avenue of research that's been pursued. And then in England, scientists there knocked out or took out a certain HDAC enzyme and showed that really helped the Huntington's mouse.
Okay.
And so by implication, you would think that if you could find a drug that inhibited that particular enzyme, that would help Huntington's. And that's been pursued. That study has been, they've studied it for quite a while, and they're not giving up on it. But so far, it has not come up with a promising drug candidate for people.
Hmm. Okay. Now, here on day three, I'm reading at the conference, you got to hear from Margaret Zaleska from Pfizer?
Yes.
And did she talk about a trial in HD patients that was...
Yes, that is the PDE trial.
Okay,
that
so the
PDE.
MP10 is the same as the... PGE-10A?
Let me make sure I have the right speaker here. The one from...
Margaret from Pfizer.
Yes.
She's talking
That was...
Pfizer's new drug, MP10.
Right.
And the...
It is the same thing by a different
okay.
name.
Right.
The Pfizer had given it a, you know, a initial and number name.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the one that
it's
I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. Oh, interesting. Is there additional information on the drug somewhere? Or?
Well, it's a proprietary drug, so mm-hmm. it's probably not, again, not to my knowledge. It's not a drug that has, I'm just going to have to say I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It has been used in a clinical trial in schizophrenia, an early trial that showed it was safe in people, and whether or not, you know, the chemistry of that drug is out there for other people to look at, I don't know. Is that
okay.
the question you're asking?
Well, I'm curious to know if Pfizer has done a it looks like they're saying that Pfizer has completed its imaging trial in HD patients. So I'm wondering when that was done, and was it done in the U.S.? And then it also states Pfizer's trial will assess safety and tolerability in HD patients and will last 28
yes.
days with functional MRI imaging.
Right.
So and that's to start in 2014, but I'm wondering, is that going to be a phase two, or do they still do the phase one, phase two, phase three? Or
there is a – they will not need to do a phase one because that has already been done. Before they could take this drug to an early trial in schizophrenia, phase one would have had to be done.
Oh.
And they've and they already determined a dosage that they will use, or they have, I believe that they have, at least the range of dosage that they're going to try in clinical trial for Huntington's. One of the things that they're going to do is, people at different stages of Huntington's, some may benefit more from a good drug than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, that part would be unknown. Pfizer looked at this drug in how this drug imaged in just a few people. CHDI wanted to look at it a little more completely with more people. So that's what this study in I think it's France, in mm-hmm. Europe is going to be. It's to make sure that if you do something on two people, you want to make sure there's enough, you're not sure there's enough information there to apply to a larger group of people. So they are going to do this trial on 28 people to get the information they need to be sure, more sure.
Okay.
And that's what that one is.
What
that is not the phase two.
Okay, then what are the beneficial effects of this drug?
In mice, we don't know in people because the trial hasn't been done. But in mice, it is neuroprotective. In mice, it helps with cognition.
Okay.
You can test how these little mice think going through mazes
mm-hmm.
And swimming things, whether they remember to go to the right place. Apathy. There has been some indication that there is more, I don't know how they measure this, that mice that are more spontaneous and initiate activity. Do I know how to test that? Mm-hmm. I don't. Don't ask me.
Now, will these help with behaviors, do you think?
Well, you're asking me something I can't answer. I hope so. If it is something that is neuroprotective, then most likely it will help all aspects of Huntington's.
Theoretically.
Yeah. It's an unknown that there needs to be answers. I believe that they will be the endpoint on this or what they will be looking at. And of course before phase two is over, you don't know for sure what they will choose as an endpoint, but I'm going to guess that they're going to really be looking at cognition,
mm-hmm.
different thinking tests, and that will be, they will really want to find out if this drug helps that. I think they're very much interested. They believe it will also help in motor aspects of Huntington's, particularly the slow or bradykinesia parts of Huntington's. They will be looking at that. They'll be looking, you know, they're going to be looking at a lot of things in phase two to see what this drug might do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I don't know if you got to listen to, I think it's a woman, I'm not sure, Ladislav. She is CHDI's KMO inhibitor research program.
Oh, yes.
I'm curious about, did you get to hear her? Is it her?
It's a man.
Oh, it is a man. I'm so sorry.
Yes. Yes, I did.
For some reason, thought it was a woman. But that kind of interested me, too, because I had heard about the research, I think it was last year. And it states that CHDI's drug is called CHDI-1246. So now that is a KMO inhibitor. Can you tell our listeners what that is, what that means?
That's a program where they are trying to inhibit this kyrenine mono something. and because that enzyme acts to then produce something that quinolinic acid component that is toxic in Huntington's. So if you could prevent that molecule from working, then the toxic chemical wouldn't be produced. That is the theory behind the KMO inhibitor. You want me to say that again?
Yes, please, because that's a mouthful.
Okay. Right. They are the drug is trying to inhibit a molecule that in turn can make a product that is toxic to Huntington brain. And in fact, it's very similar to the early Huntington mouse models where they injected quinolinic acid.
Uh-huh.
Remember those before the gene was put in? So it's a compound that the body normally makes that is toxic. If one could, particularly toxic in Huntington's, if one were able to stop that molecule from making that toxic product, then the rationalization is that Huntington's would be better.
Interesting.
If sometimes you can, it's easier. They're trying to send the drug to a molecule that will prevent. They want to turn off a molecule that's making something toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're inhibiting that molecule. So they don't, and that by doing that, you can decrease the toxic molecule towards Huntington's.
Wow.
This particular one is what the program is about. The problem is, that drug does not get into brain.
Interesting. And then what is the track?
However,
what is the track B about?
The track B is this is another program. Separate from the KMO or anything that we've talked about, where they are essentially wanting to deliver more BDNF, different ways of trying to enhance BDNF delivery or the neurotrophic factor.
And
that
do that now?
There is exercise. That increases. Aha, my old harping tune.
And
exercise.
That's why they call it track B. Track A is exercise. Track B is drugs.
Right. And they're not utilizing one way of trying to find something to do that. But everybody believes that, or most scientists believe that BDNF that is low in Huntington's is a factor in the disease progression. So if one could change that and make more BDNF available, then that would help Huntington's. You know, that's the rationalization behind it. So Track B is essentially a program that is trying to do that.
Very good. Well, I'm looking in the chat room. I'm not seeing any questions. Lots of hello and thank you, Dr. Goodman. And James, do we have any questions from our listeners tonight?
No, I think everybody was paying attention. A lot of information.
Lots of information. Yep.
I confess, at this conference, I would leave a session with my head too full.
A lot of information.
Things that had gone in had pushed other things out. There's a tremendous amount of information, and you just go tired at the end of the day. You're exhausted from listening to, or at least I am, from listening to all the information and trying to absorb at least part of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Was this recorded in any way, these conferences?
It wasn't, as far as I know, no. HD Buzz, both Jeff Carroll and Ed Wild were there, and they reported on various of the sessions as they were kind of, the night they were after they had happened.
Yeah.
So I think your best
reported
real word. Well, the lectures are not directed towards average people.
I know.
They're directed towards the scientists, so a lot of it flew over my head, and I know a little bit about this, but 90% of it went in and out. Recording it would not be so helpful to families and might even be confusing.
Well, but wouldn't it be helpful for our scientific community?
I can't really answer that question. I do know that, some of the things that are mentioned, talked about, are not published yet.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's true.
That's one component of it. I don't know. I don't have an answer for your question. How's that? I'll be honest.
Proprietary is the word, probably.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
That's, not all of it is, but some of it is,
I'm sure. Well, and then the poster session must have been really interesting.
There were more than 100 posters.
Wow.
There were posters on the demographics. The word I want is flying out of my brain.
Prevalent.
It was a study on epidemiology. That's the word I was looking for.
Uh-huh.
At least in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And with any luck, you're going to have the young lady who presented that poster in one of your upcoming sessions.
Yep. Now, is that Emily or Alicia?
I think that, neither one of us know.
Oh,
but
okay.
There's going to be two wonderful young British, BC young scientists in Michael Hayden's lab who are going to help talk about and learn about intermediate alleles and about prevalence and epidemiology of Huntington's in British Columbia. So I'll leave that to them. So
Have you in June or July. Is that what you're telling us?
That's right.
Oh, and you,
I'm getting my son married.
I know. Congratulations. That's awesome. And not in the States either, right?
Well, one wedding is in Boston. The other one is in Ireland.
Oh, how exciting. Well, you're going to be busy. We'll miss you. And hopefully we'll have either Alicia or Emily or both on to fill in for you. And I just want to let everybody know that, we've moved the shows to Tuesdays. I've got some family stuff going on here. So Tuesday turned out to be a better day for our family. And we all have to kind of, accommodate our family first.
Balancing act that we all know about, yeah.
And I've missed talking to everyone for the last few weeks, and appreciate you coming back on the show. Did you have anything else that you wanted to inform us about your conferences? And
there was also a session on Enroll HD.
Oh yes.
And when in my article, I talk about aligning the stars, or trying to get your ducks in a row. Another way of looking at it, to make things go faster. And Enroll HD, if our families join this study,
mm-hmm.
that will help clinical trials go faster from several points of view. One, recruiting can happen much more quickly if you already know about that person that will fit the criteria. So you will be able to go look at who is in Enroll and then be able to identify people who are just right for the clinical trial criteria. And then those people can be asked if they would like to be in the clinical trial. And that's so important. Many people want to be in a clinical trial, but then go and find that for some reason they can't be in it. You know, that makes us sad, but the other thing, because we want to be in a trial once we do that initial work, but the other way to look at it is, you know, we want the right people who are going to be able to have a drug show a change more quickly, so everybody gets the drug.
Right, and
so,
I thought we weren't allowed to solicit recruits.
I think we can talk about Enroll. Is that what you're saying, that I shouldn't be talking about Enroll?
No, but if there's a clinical trial coming up, I thought that it had to come from the recruit, not the recruiter.
If there, people can't know about a trial unless you tell them about it. Now, there are different rules. A drug company that's doing a clinical trial cannot solicit patients themselves,
mm-hmm.
or there are special rules about how they have to do that. Their IRB, their institutional review boards, have to approve. There's a whole bunch of guidelines mm-hmm. that are on each trial. Patient advocate like me, I'm not constrained by that, and can talk about them without rules, what I know about them.
Mm-hmm.
But if a person joins Enroll, they will, I believe that they will be asked if they would like to be aware of a clinical trial that they fit criteria for. Now,
okay.
of course, people don't have to; they're not going to be coerced to come and join a trial if they fit it.
Right.
But having it offered to them is, I believe, a choice that they make, each individual who joins Enroll.
Okay. So by joining Enroll, you are actually giving permission for them to contact you with regards to a clinical trial that may...
You can give permission.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, and there are different parts to it, my understanding of it is it's a once-a-year visit where a person who has symptomatic Huntington's, who is tested and is positive or negative, or a person at risk who hasn't tested, who belongs to a family, or a spouse or sibling... it's a family study.
Mm-hmm.
And while learning more about the disease and more about patient care, it will also serve to make recruitment more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right now when people go to centers of excellence, and then there's a clinical trial that is given, the investigator will think, which of my patients might be interested?
Right.
And this trial is a more regulated sort of way to follow it in internationally.
Right. Very good. Well, I think Enroll needs to be, we all need to be Enroll.
Yep, I would say so.
Every single one of us. Did they?
It's
they take,
once a year.
They take the whole family, not just the HD person?
That's right.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
A parent or a spouse, and whatever your gene status is in the family, known or unknown, all of these, all of us are, will be useful to this effort to learn more about Huntington's and get drugs to us faster.
Yeah. The drugs are coming.
I think the drugs are coming. I am more optimistic than I've been in the last couple of years about that they're closer, closer than they're getting very close.
That's a good thing. Well, very good information.
No, of course. You know, let me be realistic here. Close to clinical trial.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, you know, it takes time to do a trial. It takes time, more time to do two. And then you go through an FDA process. So you're still talking about blocks of time that we don't have control over, but we do have control over how fast we get to these trials. And that has been one of the biggest slowdowns in Huntington's.
Yeah.
Is getting enough people to a clinical trial efficiently. And that we have, and families have control over that.
Yes, very good information. I think we're ready to go off the air right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Oh, I so appreciate you coming back. We've missed you. And I just want to thank everybody out there for listening, too. And I've missed you all very much. So we're going to be having our shows on Tuesdays. Don't forget. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. This does conclude the HD View Ask Dr. Goodman show. And we don't get to see Dr. Goodman now for 3 months, so I'm sad about that, but she'll be back soon. Don't forget to contact me at helpforhdinternational.org or find us on Facebook, Help for HD, the HD View. Come back and listen to the recorded episodes. Dr. Goodman has many shows now to choose from, lots of good information and practical advice. Get the free app on the road, Help for HD, at helpforhdinternational.org. Also available on the app is the original mobile connection to education, resources, and information about JHD and HD. And I wish everybody good night, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week. Thank you, everybody.